Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew. Presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Bring it up, Kenny. Hour. You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. Nick Costos, our amazing crew, Anthony DeBundo, and you. The Power Hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. We were talking about the Ian Eagle interview during the break. Just had Ian Eagle on the show and said on the way out, to me, you know, no big deal. Love ya. How many people is Ian Eagle going to tell he loves today? Maybe his wife? Noah? And your dear old pal, Nikki K. All our bets for tonight will close the show. About 45 minutes from now, we'll get to Bill Zimmerman's trivia question of the day and a potpourri of sports topics 20 minutes from now, including the latest on Tiger Woods. But joining us right now, the aforementioned one of our favorites, Anthony DeBundo, who, if you are not familiar with his work at this moment, my sense is you will be as we approach the World Cup coming up in North America this summer, because for my money, for my estimation, one of the best soccer analysts in the country, and he is going to absolutely crush it for the Ringer, breaking down the World Cup. He talks all things soccer, all things sports betting, NFL, all sports for the Ringer on Twitter at his name, Anthony DeBundo. And he's got a piece coming out on Italy and its World Cup failures at the Ringer, ringer.com. I think that drops today. My friend, welcome back to the show. How's it going?
A tough act to follow, Ian Eagle. Very exciting. Go Orange, first of all. And second of all, yes, very excited for the summer. We are 2.5 months away. We have the full slate of 48 teams, barring any other geopolitical ramifications for the World Cup this summer. We are ready to go. We are fired up and very excited for what should be one of the greatest sporting events of my lifetime.
Yeah, I was thinking about parlaying Argentina with the Strait of Hormuz opening at some point over the next week. I don't know which sports book will let you do that. Let's start with the United States. And for people out there listening and watching the show that are like, why are they talking about soccer right now? Like, the World Cup's coming in a couple months. And I want to get ahead of this. And Anthony, the reason why I'm doing this here is because, like, the show has been so crowded today with so much news and great guests. I haven't gotten the chance to give an opinion yet here. So I'm going to give it very briefly right now, like in like 15 seconds or less. And I want you to respond to it. So last night, the United States loses to Portugal 2-0. Cristiano Ronaldo doesn't play in the game, just to say that because everyone knows who Ronaldo is, right? The U.S. got handled by Belgium recently as well, has lost 8 straight games to European competition. Now, the group that the U.S. is in the upcoming World Cup, which obviously will be on home soil for the United States, is Turkey, Paraguay, and Australia. Maybe the United States can make it out of the group. I think they stink. And, like, I have zero optimism that this is going to go well for the United States. Where are you at right now in the United States men's national team? Because I think people are going to be shocked when they watch the World Cup and how bad this team is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're on the level of Belgium and Portugal, but I do think that in this group, they should be the favorites to win it. We've actually seen the United States play Turkey, Paraguay, and Australia all in the last year. They played a bit of a reserve team against Turkey, lost 2-1, but it was a pretty competitive game. They beat Paraguay. They beat Australia. That was pretty close to a team for the United States. But I think the reason that people are skeptical is because there are clear holes, and I don't think they have the personnel to fix those holes. We watch back the Belgium game defensively. Chris Richards doesn't play. Matt Turner is in goal. That was a bit of a disaster. Matt Turner has really fallen off from one of the best goalkeepers in MLS, somebody who made a big move to Arsenal at one point in his career and was playing in the English Premier League here and there, to somebody who now doesn't look like he belongs on a soccer field the way he's been shot stopping in the last couple of years. So then now they're going to go to Matt Friis, who is you know, an academy product from MLS, who's had some good moments for New York City in MLS, but is certainly not of the stature of the goalkeepers we've seen from years past. That was always the one position we were supposed to be good at, right? So that being a whole, Tim Ream is not getting any younger, and he looks like he's lost another step in the last year or two defensively. So I think there's a clear hole here. It's like this defense doesn't look very good on paper, and Chris Richards is going to try to plug the gaps, but you don't feel great if they face a team with better attacking talent. And Pochettino said as much. He's like, look, Portugal has better players than we do. And that was a big contributor to why they lost 2-0 last night.
But, you know, like, and Mauricio Pochettino, the Argentine manager of the men's national team, coached PSG, coached Tottenham. So he's a decorated club coach, right? And now coaching the United States here. I guess, like, my issue with that is, in the World Cups that have passed, the United States has never been as talented as a lot of these great European teams or the great South American teams, but you always felt like, as an American, right, that they would at least have the spirit to compete, like with Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan and company, or Bradley, or Brian McBride. Like, you felt like they would go out there and give it their all, and maybe the spirit would carry them forward. Maybe I'm being a little too harsh here. I don't feel, I'm not saying this for clicks, quote unquote clicks, or anything's my opinion. I don't feel any of that. I don't see any of it. I think they're uninspiring. I think they stink. And maybe they make it through this group because the group stinks. They ain't doing anything in this tournament. Do you disagree with anything I just said?
They're in this weird transitory period where they're no longer trying to play like the scrappy underdog, but they're not quite good enough to play the traditional, like, we're going to press and we're going to possess the ball and we're going to play out from the back. And that was kind of Berhalter ball. If you go back, I mean, so much of Berhalter's failures sort of on the back end of his run was the talent not quite living up to the style that he wanted to play, where you actually saw, I thought, progress under Berhalter for a few years, and then there was regression from that progress. And a lot of it comes back again to the defense, like playing out from the back, playing out under pressure. The two fullbacks they had, Anthony Robinson and Sergiño Dest at the World Cup, had defensive issues as good as they were going forward. And Team USA really never had a counter for teams who were able to pick on those defensive miscues. But ultimately, they have established themselves as a team, a national team who's ranked, say, between 10 and 20. It is much harder, much, much harder to make that next leap into that top echelon of those top 8, 9, 10 contenders. The kind of teams who you would see regularly in the quarterfinals, they are just not that level. And that's if you rank talent, that's if you look at squad value, if you look at results. So when they do play teams like Turkey at full strength and teams like Paraguay, or, you know, Australia, you could even go to Iran at the last World Cup, teams who are in, say, that, you know, 20 to 30 range, they're very competitive with them and they can beat them, and sometimes they'll lose to them. They've done well in CONCACAF for the most part against Mexico and Canada. But when they step up and they face these Belgiums, Portugals, Germanys, Brazils, Colombia, Argentina, Uruguay from last Copa, they're just not on that level. And so I think it's worth saying that if they get to the round of 16 and lose to a better team, I wouldn't call that a failure. That's my official prediction before having seen what the bracket looks like. I think they'll win a knockout round game and then lose. But
they're going to win a game, and then who are they beating in the knockout round?
There's going to be some bad teams.
I just want to be clear. Can I just say this? Because, like, I want this to come across the right way. Anthony knows way more about this than I do. So I don't say that to be like, he's wrong and I'm right. Like, he can very well be right here. That just strikes me as, like, I look at this team and see a team that ain't winning a knockout round. Like, who can they beat in the knockout round? And I obviously value your opinion. It's why you're on the show.
Well, let's see here. Group D, whoever wins Group D, which they're currently the favorite to do. I mean, you can make some money maybe for yourself. They're going to play a third place team. And some of these third place teams, we're looking at, you know, Congo, Austria, Algeria, Saudi Arabia. Like, these are the kind of teams. Keep in mind, the tournament expanded from 32 to 48. So, you know, if 32 teams are made to the knockout stage, you're potentially drawing a team that normally would be expected to not advance from the group stage in previous groups, previous iterations of this World Cup. So I think par for the United States, again, is still round of 16. Any further, and they've probably done something right. Anything less is a failure. You're right. So if they are out in the round of 32, barring some weird thing where they somehow draw France or something in the round of 32 or Germany or Spain, then you would see that as a failure. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, this team, it's not all bad. Christian Pulisic is healthy. Tyler Adams is going to be healthy.
Can he score a goal?
Weston McKennie, I thought, looked as good this cycle as he ever has for the U.S. men's national team. Just a year or two ago, he was in the doghouse with Pochettino and was seemingly going to be the odd man out of this group, and he's earned his way back into the team. This is a good group of players. Balogun has had a pretty good run with the United States this spring. Like, you don't have to go that far back. They beat Uruguay. They beat Japan. They've had good wins in the last year or two.
You better you bet on this Wednesday. Nick Costos and you on Westwood One Sports. Our guest, the great, my buddy, Anthony DeBundo from The Ringer on Twitter at Anthony DeBundo. Great coverage of sports betting for The Ringer and also soccer and other sports for The Ringer. Now, I know that I'm being a little negative here. I don't mean to be. And I think longtime listeners and viewers of this show know I love soccer. I wish I had more time to follow. Yeah, you know that, right? And like, look, as the show has kind of evolved, like, I need to spend more time following the NBA and more time following college basketball. And I don't get the time that I used to have to watch the English. I'm also a dad now, to watch the English Premier League on a Saturday or a Sunday morning. But I love this stuff. And I can't wait to cover the World Cup this summer on You Better You Bet. I think we're going to absolutely crush it. But I need to be honest here, because I'm looking this morning in preparation for this interview. Right? I know we're going to have you on. And one of the questions I'm going to ask you, or I'm thinking about at least, is, what's the group of death at this World Cup? And for people that don't know, the group of death is the one group in every major soccer tournament that's like stacked with really good teams, and one great team's going to be left out. There is no group of death, right? Because there's so many damn countries in the World Cup now. And I'm looking at this group stage and I'm like, is this going to stink? Like, it won't, because there's a million games and like something fun will happen. But on paper, this has to be the worst group stage we've ever seen, right, in the World Cup. Fair or unfair?
Fair from a talent perspective in terms of the way it's distributed, but you're still going to get good games. All you're doing is kind of taking, instead of two teams who maybe you know a bunch of the players and you're really like well aware of the narratives of these countries and how, where they stand, you're going to get matchups between teams who you maybe don't know as well, but it's still going to be the final day of the group stage and we're still going to have to figure out, oh, who's going to advance and who's not going to advance. Now, are you going to be fired up for Iraq and Norway? Maybe not to the same extent you would be if it was like France and Norway.
Erling Haaland's pretty awesome. That'll be fun at least. But yes, to your point,
yeah.
Yes.
That's my point. That is the group of death. Group I, France, Senegal, Iraq, and Norway.
Wow, what Norway, a group of death.
The group of death, right? I mean, Norway's good, though. Like, they spanked Italy, which I guess doesn't say much these days in qualifying. They have, you know, the metrics of a team that could be a top 15 contender. They have two, you know, global superstars in Martin Odegaard and Erling Haaland, two players that can score and be as good of an attack as really any at this tournament in terms of a 1-2 punch. Senegal has been notoriously difficult to knock out in these international tournaments. They were in the round of 16 and played England pretty tough at the last World Cup. Of course, the AFCON situation from last month was quite interesting, how the title got overturned months later, which is fascinating. But yeah, I mean, that's a tough group. And you're going to potentially see, assuming they're both healthy, Mbappe versus Haaland at MetLife in the final group stage game there, Gillette Stadium on June 26th. The final game could be for first place in the group. I don't think you're going to see any of the big boys go out, but I even go back to like Euro 2024, the expanded format where three teams are often qualifying. We still got a lot of drama late. It just maybe wasn't the drama we thought from maybe the countries we thought. It was like Romania's playing and they're playing against, you know, another country and you're not really sure, Scotland maybe. And it's like, oh yeah, like I know a couple of these guys, but you still get the passion, the drama, the fans that get, you know, life or death about this stuff. There's still going to be plenty of pageantry in the group stage. I just think it's not going to be for, say, those top eight teams who maybe are playing their way into the tournament.
So for people that don't know, yesterday, Italy loses to Bosnia, right, on penalty kicks, and Bosnia advances to the World Cup, and Italy, for the third consecutive World Cup, does not even qualify. Now, if you're out there in the audience, and this is what I think is fun, right, Anthony, even if people don't love soccer all year round or every year, it feels like most sports fans, like I would think like the majority of sports fans are interested in the World Cup and parachute in for the World Cup, right? And certainly like it for the United States. And once you get deeper in the tournament and the big countries are there, right? So if you're out there right now driving in your car, you're watching the show, you're listening wherever you are, and like you don't care about this, you should, because Italy whether right, wrong, or indifferent, is one of these hot-button countries that people either like to root for or root against, and now we don't get that at this tournament. It's going to make the tournament worse. Now, your name ends in a vowel. You are Italian. I'm part Italian, even though my last name is Greek. How do you put into perspective a proud footballing nation like Italy missing its third consecutive World Cup?
Yeah, I wrote about this. I mean, we're now 20 years removed from Italy's fourth World Cup title. There are only three countries that have ever won the World Cup four times. Germany, Italy, Brazil. They are up there in the first sentence with all of the proudest and most historic footballing nations. This is the equivalent of UNC like missing the tournament for 10 straight years, or Alabama football having seven consecutive losing seasons and completely falling off the map. I mean, this Italian team, not just missing the World Cup in 18, 22, and now 26, but even going back. In 2010, they finished dead last in a group that included New Zealand and Paraguay. In 2014, they were in the group of death with Costa Rica, with Uruguay. They finished dead last in that too. They kind of died in the Brazilian jungle that day. And that was a famous, of course, matchup with Uruguay and Italy, if you remember a certain Luis Suarez at the 2014 World Cup.
Yeah, doing his best impersonation of Dracula, biting the Italian player in that game.
And so they haven't played a knockout game at a World Cup since they won the 2006 shootout, which was, of course, famous because they beat France and Zidane with the headbutt. And there's a lot of jokes about the curse. Because, you know, Zidane has always said that he was provoked by Marco Materazzi. And so now it's the curse of Materazzi that, you know, because he provoked Zidane, now he's cursed his country for 20 years of World Cup ineptitude. But yeah, this is unbelievable because it's not just bad luck, right? It's not just, oh, we lost a couple of one-off playoffs, because this is true and this cycles down even deeper. I mean, right now, all of the best young men athletes in Italy are not soccer players. They're tennis players. Yannick Sinner, Lorenzo Musetti.
Or baseball. Caboli. How about that? Like how well they did in the World Baseball Classic, right?
Americans. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, literally, Italian baseball achieved more in one night, one tournament, than Italian men's soccer has achieved in a World Cup qualifying cycle for 12 Amazing. Years. But yeah, no. Investment in tennis is huge in Italy right now. They're building all these courts. They're having all these challengers. There's all the young talent is Italian in tennis, not soccer. There's only one guy who started for Italy yesterday who's under 25, Riccardo Calafiori. Serie A has become a bit of a retirement league for like these old players who want to go play in a slower paced league. The stadiums are way behind. They're not modern. There's no money in the league. England has lapped them in money. France has lapped them in youth development. Spain has done a much better job. Germany has four or five young players you'd take before any of the Italian guys. So this is a total failure of the federation to not learn from mistakes, to not adjust, to not modernize, and to get beat out by a different sport in their own country. I mean, imagine if America just like fell off in basketball, right? And it's not that level of dominance, but America fell off in basketball, and it's because all of the top basketball players decided they weren't going to be playing basketball anymore. There were just no good young players under the age of 22 anymore. College basketball died, and it's like now everybody plays a different sport. That's how it feels right now with the way that Italy has failed to develop talent in the last decade. And you're seeing that in Serie A, and you're seeing that in the national team.
And you think like the semifinal against Germany in 2006, tournament in Germany, winning in extra time with two late goals. Like, what's happened to Del Piero and Totti and Buffon and Vieri and the great Italian?
Maldini, Chiellini.
Right. What a disgrace.
Like, a disgrazia. Juve and Milan have completely fallen off, right? I mean, in the 90s and the 2000s, those were two of the most storied clubs in Europe. They were consistently competing for Champions League titles. I mean, Juve was in the final in 2016. Milan has not been back to that level at all. Juve really has
Barcelona. Off. Barcelona beat them so bad that I think they weren't allowed back in since in that final, right?
That was
And that was Suarez, Messi, and Neymar, right?
And Neymar,
we're on that front line.
Paul Pogba, Pirlo played for that team. I mean, Marquisio. I mean, they've had so much good talent. And it was always defensive, too. I mean, you think about the best teams in the world, you usually think about their best attackers. Italy didn't always have the best attackers, but they were always tough to beat, great defensively. Now you watch them. I mean, Spain torched them at the Euros. Switzerland torched them at the Euros. Norway put seven on them in two games this qualifying cycle. 7-1 on aggregate to Norway. And it wasn't a competitive match. Neither were competitive. So it's crazy to see this fall off. I'm truly stunned by it. It's disappointing as an Italian American, but as somebody who was looking forward to maybe rooting for Italy, disappointing for the Canadians, because I know that Italy and Canada were set to play a game in Toronto. If Italy had won that match yesterday, that would have been great for the pretty big Italian community up there. Not to be. Italy, yeah, the fourth largest ethnicity in America of the European nations is Italy. So disappointing to see that I think it's 17 million Italian-Americans. We are not going to be able to root on our boys at the World Cup this summer.
And I'll tell you, as someone who lives in Staten Island, New York, it feels like half of those Italian-Americans live in my neck of the woods here. Let's close with this.
The other half are in South Philly. Yeah.
give this to me in like 60 seconds. If you had to bet someone right now to win the World Cup, Spain is the favorite, plus 450, who just won the Euros. France, obviously, is always there at the end of these tournaments. Final tournament for Didier Deschamps, the coach, plus 550. We've got England, Brazil, Argentina, Portugal, Germany, Netherlands, after them on the odds board at BetMGM. Who would you bet and why to win the World Cup? 30 to 60 seconds to close.
Yeah, I think there's a clear top four right now, and I would put Spain, France, England, and Argentina in that clear top four. You know, we'll see what the status of Lionel Messi looks like, what kind of form he's in a few months. You know, is he going to be able to carry them the way he kind of carried the attack at the last World Cup, at the last Copa? We will see about that. But I think England right now, to me, is the team that I'm circling and I have my eye on and I'm contemplating a bet on. France got the toughest draw of those top four. I think Spain, of course, has the clear established elite player in Lamine Yamal now. But Yamal's been a little bit up and down this season for Barcelona. You know, he's still so young. It's easy to forget that expecting him to be perfect every week is probably not a great bet. So I think France is the most talented team, but I don't trust their manager. Spain has the most recent success. England may be the best combination of both, especially with a new manager coming in, Tuchel. The talent is very good and certainly as good as anybody. Their defense is elite. So England right now, probably my pick if you made me take somebody, but we have some time to figure it out.
Great. I'll book your action on England to win the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know,
I
love, by the way, it's like, you remember back in the day.
I hate to join the party late, but maybe this is their time.
Well, it's no more Gareth Southgate's different manager now. And you remember when Sports Illustrated used to do that bit, when people read magazines, this week's sign of the apocalypse, it'd be a German coaching the England national team. I think
exactly.
Be this week's sign with Thomas Tuchel, the manager of the English national team. Anthony, you're the best. We'll do this more leading up to the World Cup on Twitter at Anthony DeBundo. Check out his piece on Italy at The Ringer today. Talk to you soon, my friends.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Our buddy Anthony DeBundo joining us here on You Better, You Bet. Look, we've been on the air on this new show for 4 months now, three plus months. First time we've done soccer. Don't yell at me. We're going to do more of it leading up to the World Cup. It is going to be sensational. On the other side, we will get into Tiger Woods. We will talk some of the big stories coming up last night from the NBA and the greatness of Shohei Ohtani. Wednesday, You Better, You Bet. Nick Costos and you on Westwood One Sports.
The greatest comebacks and shots of all time.
The bullet, four, three, he did it! Oh, he did it! He hit it! He hit the long three-pointer!
Down 19 points, UConn upset Duke.
And the UConn Huskies score on the floor! An epic comeback from 19 points down!
And all of the madness was heard on the Westwood One Sports app.
I don't believe it!
We're your home of the NCAA tournament.
Unbelievable!
Westwood One Sports.
I'm Boomer Esiason. My mom died from cancer. She was only 37 years old. She didn't have life insurance, and that was devastating for my family. That's why having life insurance is so important to me. Ethos makes it fast and easy. Get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with no medical exam.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/play. That's ethos.com/play. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Empower. Ellie here is getting the sleeve she's always dreamed of. She worked with Empower and planned for her next move. So she got good at money. Now she can be a little bad. Oh, by the way, you spelled journey wrong. No worries. She can afford the cover-up, too. Ooh, check out my tat. It says, invest well, live a little. Start today at empower.com.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly.
Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
ChefOTUSA.org.
Seen that. Timeout New York. KD doing it forever. Feels like he can keep going too.
Now back to You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos on Westwood One Sports.
Mike Tirico with the call last night on NBC is, you know, just, oh, you know, my New York Knicks suck. Remember last week when I came on the air and told you I'm done with the Houston Rockets? Get the Rockets out of my face, and I still think that. Come playoff time, Houston Rockets ain't winning anything. They destroyed the Knicks last night in a game that wasn't competitive from start to finish. We'll do a little bit more of a deep dive on the Knicks in a moment here, but we got a bunch of topics we still need to hit on the show, and here's what's great. There's so much good stuff happening in sports that we're going to have to leave some stuff on the cutting room floor heading into tomorrow. But we're going to try and get as much as we can into this segment before we wrap up the show with our bets for tonight and the trivia question of the day. So let's get to the first topic here in this segment.
One.
On Monday, we talked about Tiger Woods and his car accident on Friday and his arrest on suspicion of DUI. And I said on Monday that Tiger Woods needs to grow up and I'm done with Tiger Woods until he goes away for a while and gets better. Because he has been, for far too long, a menace to society. Could have killed himself, could have killed others, could have killed a child on multiple occasions. Because he can't control himself. I was very, very correctly, but I was very, very critical of Tiger Woods on Monday. And if you are a parent, and this is not to minimize the feelings of those who are not parents, I would have felt this way even if I were not a dad. But things like this carry extra significance when you're a parent. I'm a dad, right, and a husband. My wife and kid driving on the road, here's messed up Tiger Woods or anyone who's messed up behind the wheel. This is how, like, lives are destroyed and families are destroyed because of selfish idiots like Tiger Woods. I was very critical of him on Monday on the show. I don't care how good a golfer he is. I don't care how many people worship him and bend the knee and genuflect at the altar of this guy. I don't care. So if I'm going to be critical, when appropriate, I also have to be really fair and give him credit when appropriate. Because Tiger Woods puts out a statement last night. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically saying that he's stepping away from golf and stepping out of the public eye in order to focus on his health and seeking treatment, and that he understands the seriousness of the situation that he finds himself in. And to that I say, bravo. What I'm going to say next is real life stuff. Because if you are listening or watching the show right now, and I did this a little bit on Monday, I think it bears repeating, and you have not been impacted by addiction, whether in your own life or the lives of those around you, people that you care about, people that you love. You should consider yourself to be very, very, very lucky. Addiction is an insidious disease and can be very, very hard to break. And I am sure that some people that I am talking to right now, whether it's you or whether it's someone you know, someone you love, have been around someone who needs help and doesn't ask for it and doesn't try and get it. And how frustrating that can be. The fact that Tiger, whether he's being pushed to do it or not, doesn't really matter. The fact that he, because it would be easy for him just to go, how many times have we seen famous people go off the deep end? They keep making mistakes and keep going further down the rabbit hole. And you think they're at rock bottom? Give them a shovel and they'll keep digging. I don't know how it's going to end for Tiger, hopefully in a really positive way. Hopefully he gets well and he gets sober of mind and body. And forget about golf. That he can be a great dad and a great person. That's what's important. The fact that he's asking for help and knows he needs it, I think he deserves a lot of credit and deserves to be commended. And now, just go recover and get well, be a valuable and a positive member of society. And if there's golf down the line, great. We'd all love to see it. All of us would love to see it. But if not, I hope that he can at least be a good dad and a good friend and a good human being. How about the Detroit Pistons last night, winning the Central Division Championship in the NBA for the first time in almost two decades? How crazy is that? 18 years, the last time the Detroit Pistons won the Central Division. Last night, Detroit beats the crap out of the Toronto Raptors. And just in case you don't know, the listener and viewer, and it's okay if you don't, that's why I'm here, right? No one is going to confuse the Toronto Raptors with a legitimate bona fide NBA Finals contender. But they are a top six team in the East, and maybe they'll end up in the play-in, but this has been, from the start of the season to now, a team that has overachieved and is absolutely a playoff team this year in the Eastern Conference. And the Pistons beat the brakes off them last night with no Cade Cunningham. Jalen Duren, who Jay Croucher last Friday on the show said is maybe the best Jalen in the NBA, and there are some good ones. Jalen Duren, 31-9. Danish Jenkins has another good game. Thompson has another good game. And I'll keep saying it. Excuse me, I've had to cough for about 2 minutes. Was trying to avoid it. What the Pistons have been able to accomplish since Cade Cunningham went out with the collapsed lung has given me more confidence in Detroit potentially winning the Eastern Conference than I had prior to Cade's collapsed lung. Now, obviously, the Pistons need Cade Cunningham, probably even to win one series. Because the way it shakes out right now, and we've talked about this a lot, the bottom of the Eastern Conference, as far as the play-in teams go, the quality is way better. They're all over 500, all of them. Think of, like, that never happens. You know, you compare and contrast with the Western Conference, where the Golden State Warriors, we'll talk about them in a second, are three games under 500, likely to be the 10th seed, right? Detroit might have to play Philly with Joel Embiid healthy and Paul George back and Maxey and Edgecombe. Might have to play the Orlando Magic, who, yes, have been brutal as of late, but have a lot of talent. Miami. Charlotte, who's been one of the better teams in the NBA since the calendar flipped to 2026. So yeah, like, Detroit needs Cade Cunningham. I'm not trying to insinuate otherwise. But this time period that Cade's been missing and the experience it's afforded the other players on this roster, only a good thing for the Detroit Pistons. If you're a Pistons fan, if you're a Pistons better, I think you have to be feeling very, very good about yourself today.
Three.
So we talked about the New York Knicks losing last night to the Houston Rockets. And look, like, Houston's not going to win the Western Conference. No way. I don't even think the Knicks are going to win the Eastern Conference at this point. And I'm going to stick with my prediction, like the bets that I've made, because like, I really want to see it happen, and I'm a Knicks fan, and I'd love to see them get back to the NBA Finals. How can you not be losing faith and confidence in the Knicks? How can you not? They lose to all the good teams and beat the bad teams, which is great over an 82-game regular season. It gets you the 3 seed potentially in the Eastern Conference. But if they have to play the Celtics in the second round, like, can they win? Yes. They beat Boston last year. I didn't think they would last year, to be fair. And yes, I have to acknowledge that the upside for the Knicks is to make the NBA Finals. Like, that, they still have that upside. It's just hard to see it right now. So I want to create a scenario for everybody. Let's say second round, Knicks-Celtics. Celtics with home court. Let's say the Celtics win that series. It doesn't even have to be in a hard-fought 7 games. Celtics, however it happens, Boston wins the series. Mike Brown's getting fired. I think Mike Brown, I guess if it went to a game 7 and it like went to overtime and like they played great, maybe. If the Celtics win that series in 6 and look really good in doing so, and the Knicks are disorganized and they look disinterested defensively, and Karl Anthony Towns is disappearing from the lineup for wide swaths of time, and Mikal Bridges can't get it together, he's getting fired. Remember when the Knicks dismissed Tom Thibodeau? I was one of the people that wanted it to happen because I felt like, I don't think you can win with Tibbs. Let's try somebody new. So here's Mike Brown. The whole point of Mike Brown is to get the Knicks to a place that Tom Thibodeau couldn't. And if he doesn't, I think he's going to get fired. His seat is warming up big time right now. And as I talked about in the first hour of the show with Danny Parkins, I don't know if it will happen, but you know the Danny Hurley to the Knicks rumors are going to heat up in a big way.
2.
It has come out that the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry, that Steph is nearing a return, possibly as early as this weekend after missing a huge period of time for the Golden State Warriors. So as it stands right now, the Warriors are the 10 seed in the Western Conference, and if the season ended today, they would go on the road to play the Portland Trail Blazers in the 9-10 game, right? And are very likely to not get out of the play-in and not advance where, and even if they did, and here's the point. Why is Steph Curry coming back? Like, I understand from his perspective, right? He wants to get out there and play, and he wants to compete. He wants to challenge himself. I get it from that perspective. But if you're Steve Kerr and you're the ownership group and you're Mike Dunleavy, the general manager, don't you just sit him down? What's the upside here? That Steph comes back and you, let's say they beat Portland, right? Great. And then you advance to the next play-in game. And then maybe you take on, let's say you take on the Suns, right? For a chance to play Oklahoma City in the first round and they win that game. Okay. They would get, not obliterated, obliterated by the Oklahoma City Thunder. Would get sliced and diced and eviscerated and annihilated and embarrassed. What's the point? And get a worse draft pick. Steph is an all-time great, no question. The Warriors need to sit him down for the, there's no upside to this. Zero. I think it's a big mistake for Steph Curry to come back for the Golden State Warriors.
1.
Last night for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are 4-1 now. They actually did lose the game, believe it or not. Shohei Ohtani pitched 6 innings, 6 strikeouts, allowed 1 hit, and went 1-for-3 with 2 walks. We are well on our way to another Shohei Ohtani MVP and well on our way to a three-peat from the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll talk more Major League Baseball to end the show on the other side, but for right now, our executive producer Bill Zimmerman is here with the trivia question of the day that we will all attempt to answer during the break of the show and coming back from break. So, Bill, what do we have for the trivia question on this Wednesday?
All right, Nick. Well, Alex Caraban here has won 17 games for UConn as a starter. He's been part of this golden Danny Hurley era. He has a chance to move into second all-time, to tie second all-time if UConn can beat Illinois on Saturday. So the question is, who currently has 18 and is one spot ahead of Alex Caravan, and who has the all-time lead ahead of both of them?
So it has to be a UCLA player, right? Has the all-time lead, I'm guessing?
I've not given you any hints.
How about is either answer from even like the semi-modern era?
Semi-modern, yes.
Okay, that's a decent hint. Like, someone from UCLA is definitely the answer to the first one, because they won like 19 straight championships with John Wooden in the 70s, which I know doesn't make mathematical sense. So it'll be someone from UCLA. The semi-modern one we'll try and figure out during the break, and then we'll close the show with all our bets for tonight on the other side on a Wednesday on Westwood One Sports.
Heating up, and so is the sports calendar. We are your home of the Final Four, the Masters, and the NFL Draft, taking you inside the sports you care about. Westwood One Sports.
If you don't care about saving 50% off your wireless bill for the same 5G coverage the big guys are charging a fortune for, maybe you care about keeping jobs in America. Pure Talk does. They've pledged to run their entire operation from this country, including all their customer service. Or maybe you care about our nation's veterans. Pure Talk does. They've donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to America's Warrior Partnership, a fantastic organization working hard to prevent veteran suicide. Or maybe you care about closing America's skills gap. Pure Talk does. They're a proud supporter of MicroWorks. They're helping my foundation train the next generation of skilled workers. Don't get me wrong. Saving money's great, and you'll save plenty with Pure Talk. But if you want to be in business with people who share your values, dial #250, say micro, and switch to an American wireless company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
I've always wanted to learn French, but the app I tried didn't help.
If you want to memorize words in another language, there's an app for that. But if you want to really learn another language, there's Babbel. Babbel was designed by over 200 language learning experts to be the most effective way to learn another language.
With other language learning apps, I was just playing games. I wasn't really learning. Babbel's different. Every time I open the app, I can choose to work on my writing, speaking, or listening. And it saves my mistakes for me to review, so I'm constantly improving. Babbel feels like it was created intentionally by people who really know what you need to learn another language. Before Babbel, I thought I just wasn't good with languages. But now I'm speaking French. Tout ça, c'est grâce à Babbel.
Want to really learn another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%.
BABFOTUSA.org.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
Looking to take your MLB action to the next level this season? Boosted Odds are here to crank up every pitch, swing, and home run. BetMGM hooking you up with your very own MLB Odds Boost token. Just add any MLB bet to your bet slip, activate your Odds Boost token, and lock it in. If your bet hits, you're cashing out with an even bigger payout. Download the BetMGM app, visit BetMGM.com so you can make it legendary, and as always, please gamble responsibly. Four phenomenal guests joined us today on You Better You Bet. We appreciate all of them. How about our friend Danny Parkins, First Things First on Fox Sports 1, Tom Crean, Westwood 1 college basketball analyst, the legendary Ian Eagle, lead college basketball voice on CBS, and our pal Anthony DeBundo from The Ringer. Bill Zimmerman is our EP, Tyler Morales, our technical director, Kenny Henderson, our engineer, the tag team of Downtown Mike Brown, and Dan the Man Turner, our video producers. All right, Bill, let's attempt to answer the trivia question, and then we'll get to the bets. Just give the question once again to the listeners and viewers, please.
All right, Alex Caravan has 17 career wins as a starter for UConn. That is third all-time.
Tournament wins.
Yes, tournament wins. Third all-time. He has a chance to tie second at 18 with a win over Illinois. And so who is in second and who has the all-time record, which he cannot break, by the way. He'd come up short even if they win the championship.
So I think someone from UCLA, I think, is the answer to who has the most. I'm going to guess it's Bill Walton. Is that right, Bill?
That is incorrect. It is not someone from UCLA.
Oh.
Because the problem was they only had four or five games in the 60s and 70s, and freshmen couldn't play. So Bill Walton, even if he maxed out all his games, he wouldn't have been able to get to this number.
All right, so Tyler brings up something interesting in the chat, and just in the interest of time, like while giving Tyler credit here, like I came up with it during the break. I think Tyler might have the right answer to the question overall, which is both Bobby Hurley and Christian Laettner. So what I said was, like, 89, Duke loses in the Final Four to Seton Hall. 90, Duke loses in the title game to UNLV. 91, Duke wins it all. 92, Duke wins it all. Now, I don't remember if, like, Laettner and Bobby Hurley were both on the 89 team. I'm pretty sure Hurley was. Danny Ferry was the star of that team. I think Tyler's right that it's Laettner and Hurley are the answers. I don't know who's first and who's second. Bill, is that correct?
That is correct. Leitner's got 21 wins, Hurley at 18. So Danny Hurley can get Caravan to tie his brother here with a win against Illinois. Hurley was a freshman in 90, the team that got slaughtered by UNLV. He was a freshman on that team. And yes, Leitner was the year before. So Leitner has the 89, 90, 91, and 92 teams.
I mean, dude, Leitner went to four Final Fours, three title games, and won two championships, and then played for the Dream Team. A pretty unbelievable stretch for Christian Leitner there. What a great trivia question. Did Hurley, we can look this up, it doesn't matter. Did Hurley play for the 93 team? Or did he,
yes.
Did he enter the NBA early? He played in 93?
He did not enter early.
And then
he played in 93. Yeah, he was not.
Okay,
Grant Hill was on the 94 team that lost to Jason.
That lost
Kidd
to Arkansas. No, that 94 team lost to Arkansas in the championship game for Duke.
When did they lose? Was 93 when they lost to Kidd?
93, correct.
When they lost early. Okay, yeah.
Yep. And then
that was
Kidd,
early
Kidd went to the NBA draft in 94 along with Big Dog Glenn Robinson and Grant Hill. And they were co-rookies of the year, Jason Kidd and Grant Hill. Anyway, let's get to the bets for tonight. Kenny, please drop the dope-ass beat. I'll go very quickly here, and we don't have to do the game of the night tonight. The game of the night tonight is the Yankees and the Mariners, right? Two of the best teams in Major League Baseball in the American League split the first two of this four-game set. Cam Schlittler and George Kirby tonight. The Yankees have allowed three runs in the first five games of the season. I think the Yankees keep it rolling tonight. I do like my Yanks on the road in Seattle. And then a two-team money line parlay for yours truly in baseball. Give me the Dodgers. No DeLauder tonight for the Guardians. Give me the Dodgers to beat the Guardians. And then Garrett Crochet and the Red Sox to get off the schneid. Dodgers-Red Sox two-team money line parlay at BetMGM, plus 127. Kenny very quickly, and then Tyler, baseball bets to wrap the show.
I've got two home run bets. First homers of the year for two superstars in Major League Baseball, Ronald Acuna and Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
I like the Orioles a little bit. They play like 40 minutes. I like them with Trevor Rogers pitching. Also, golf tomorrow real quick. Ludwig Oberg, I like him at 14-1 and Seb Straka 26-1. Oberg wins this week. Might be a preview to who's the winner next week at the Masters. So let's go Ludwig this week.
And thank you for Tyler reminding, like, to do golf bets today. So, Oberg, is the call your shot guy, or is Seb Straka the call your shot guy this week?
No, Seb Straka is the call of my shot guy. That's our, and I also like Danny McCarthy 50-1, too. But Seb Straka, we are confident in Seb.
All right, Ludwig Oberg, Seb Straka, Danny McCarthy. What tournament is it this week? The Valspar?
The Valero Texas Open, the prestigious.
I got the first letter right, which I didn't think would be the case. All right, so golf bets from Tyler, a couple home run bets from Kenny, me with the Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, money line parlay. We'll see you tomorrow on a Thursday. Until then, I'm Nick Costos wishing you minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Our pals, Bleck and Abdallah, coming up next on Westwood One
this
Sports.
This is Westwood One Sports.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
I was feeling the same way. After 40, the body has less testosterone, and men lose their edge. That's why I take Nugenix Total T2.
That's the testosterone booster, right?
Yes, but Total T2 is their brand new formula that skyrockets nitric oxide levels in as little as 3 hours. Since I started taking it, I've been lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. My energy is way up, and it even spiced up things things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yep, just send a text.
Text MEETER to 42424 for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T2, the next generation testosterone booster. Text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text MEETER to 42424. That's M-E-T-E-R to 42424.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Pix.com for restrictions and details.
You're listening to Westwood One Sports on WFAN-FM HD2 New York. And